Before we get started with tapping in with Apostle Donita Collins, we are going to review Sunday's teaching. So listen, grab your books, grab your pens, and let's get ready. So we're going to go jump right into our review this evening. On Sunday, another powerful, powerful message. And I know we say this every week, but truly the messages are getting powerful and more powerful each week. And that's what they're supposed to do. And they are truly equipping us and fortifying us each week. So this past Sunday, Apostle Collins wrapped up the series of unjust emotions in the Ecclesia, dealing with part four and relational obedience. Yes, relational obedience. Who knew that relationships dealt with our obedience and how they coincided? Who knew that our sentiments, we pick our relationships based off of our sentiments? We don't think about that, but Apostle Collins broke that down for us on Sunday. And so we're going to go ahead and review that. We have already gone through emotional sentiments. We've gone through cultural sentiments, and we've gone through relational obedience this past Sunday. And so we're going to go ahead and jump right in. This series and the teaching has truly helped us again to recognize the many forms of our sentiments and how they show up. Our sentiments have many, many forms. And throughout this entire series, Apostle Collins have truly walked us through and laid out and showed us step by step and pinpointed each sentiment, how it shows up and what it looks like. And of course, she's given us scripture to back it and to show us what it looks like so that we can apply it to our lives today. She's already annihilated the fact that, oh, the Bible is ancient and the Bible is outdated. Truly, it's not. We are living out the word right here and right now, and she has shown us ourselves. She's shown us how our sentiments show up over and over, and she's shown us even throughout scripture during that time how their sentiments have shown up. But Jesus died on the cross for a reason. He shed his blood for a reason. We can truly do all things through Christ Jesus, and our sentiments must be put under the blood, not under the rug. And she has been teaching us that and telling us that over and over and over. And so whether we believe it or not, listen, our emotional, cultural and our relational sentiments, as Apostle Collins has introduced to us, that it affects our lives and how we make our decisions from day to day. They do. They affect how we make our decisions from day to day. And so, but most importantly, choosing our sentiments over our obligatory service to the King keeps us out of his will. And that's what we must walk away with from this evening as well, understanding that when we rely on our sentiments and when we operate in our sentiments and when we rely on our sentiments, it truly keeps us out of the will of God. Why? Because our sentiments are all about us. Our sentiments are selfish. Our sentiments rely on feeling. Our sentiments are not rooted in truth. And so if we're not rooted in truth and we're relying on how we feel and what we think, and we already know that our emotions are up and down and in and out, they're not stable, then we can't stay in God's will. We're not in his will. And so I want us to remember that as we go through our review this evening. Because again, when we live in our sentiments and we make our decisions out of our sentiments, listen, what are we not doing as well? We're not taking on the mind of Christ, and we cannot take on his mind when we're living in our sentiments. Why? Because our sentiments are in the place of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit should be ruling and leading and guiding us into all truth. That's what we have the Holy Spirit for. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. But when we have our sentiments as our guide and as our leader, there's no place for the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we must uproot and annihilate our unrighteous sentiments. And so this past Sunday, again, we dealt with specifically relational obedience. Sentimental attachment breeds disobedience. Our unjust emotions and our sentiments produce disobedience. Relational sentiments override righteous judgment, and it compromises the will of God. That's why we must come into righteousness, and that's why we must work on building our relationships from God's point of view and not our own point of view, not picking our relationships and choosing our relationships based off of, oh, they act just like me. Oh, they think like me. And that's how we do today. But that's not how God ordained or even established for relationships to be. And we'll dig into relationships and what God thinks about them and how he truly built them on his success a little bit more. And I'm sure Apostle Collins will break that down to us some more this evening as well. But Sunday's message came out of 1 Samuel 12. And she talked about Eli and his sons. And I know we hear about that scripture a lot, and we hear about how Eli's sons disobeyed and all that they did. But I love how Apostle Collins talked about Eli. She brought out how Eli did not chasten his sons. He did not correct his sons, but instead he chose his relationship with his sons over obeying his God. And that was dangerous. And we learned that there's consequences to every action. There's judgment to every disobedience that we do. And so what did Eli do? What happened with Eli? Eli's failure was not ignorance of his son's actions. So he was not unaware. And it's not that he was ignorant, but it was his unwillingness to confront and correct them. He valued his relationship and his sentimental relationship with his sons over what he knew was righteous. And that was correcting and that was chastening their behavior. One of the things we also learned is that many in the ecclesia are truly relationally loyal to people and not to God's commands. And what does that look like? Specifically, we learned relationally loyal to people looks like being loyal to your community, loyal to your boss, loyal to your parents, loyal to your siblings, loyal to your favorite cousin, loyal to your favorite aunt or uncle, loyal to the people around you that you value more. That's what relationally loyalty looks like, rather than being loyal to Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Sometimes we have to sever relationships with people that we love the most in order to grow our relationship with our King. Relational sentiment is unjust. Why? Because it causes us to protect dysfunction. It causes us to protect dishonor. It causes us to protect delusion. Over what? Over righteousness. Now, when I hear that and just repeating that out of my mouth, it sounds crazy, but we do it all the time, unconsciously, and sometimes consciously, because believe it or not, and as we are learning, our choices are our choices, and we make these choices for a reason. But it sounds crazy when you hear it. Again, relational sentiment is unjust. Why? Because it causes us to protect dysfunction, dishonor, and delusion over God. Instructs us and commands us to truly take on his mind, to take on his will, to take on his way, because his ways are righteous, his ways are just, his ways are pure. But when we rely again on our own sentiments based off of relationships, we protect everything but the King and his kingdom. We protect everything of the world, but call ourselves believers and call ourselves kings in a kingdom. But that's not what kings in the kingdom do. Kings in the kingdom protect the kingdom, and we defend his sovereignty. We defend his righteousness. We defend all that belongs to him. God requires covenant loyalty over relational loyalty. Again, we just talked a little bit about that. He requires covenant loyalty over relational loyalty. So God expects our relationships to align with his government and not compete with it. He expects our relationships to align with his government and to not compete with it. And so anything that causes us to disobey his commandments, anything or anyone that causes us to compromise what he has called us to do, we need to sever that relationship. Because again, we can't serve two masters. The Bible tells us we can't serve two masters. We either love one or hate the other. And so we should love our relationship with our King and our covenant with our King more than we value and love the relationship with man. True obedience requires severing ties with familiar and disobedient people. And we saw that and with Eli and his sons. Eli didn't obey, but what Eli should have done was sever his ties with his sons, which was what? Familiarity and disobedience. But instead, Eli agreed with it and he complied with it because he did not address it. And we learned that on Sunday. Apostle Collins told us that when we do not address an issue, we comply with it and we agree with it because what our silence is loud too. And so when we stand by and watch things, we are in agreement with it because why? She taught us that as apostolic beings and as kings in the kingdom, we address issues. That's what we're called to do. We're called to address. And so if we stand there and watch, that means we're in agreement with it. Why? Because we did nothing to put forth a solution. We did nothing to address the issue at hand. And we saw Jesus walk the earth. We read about seeing Jesus walk the earth all the time, and he addressed issues that he were called to. He didn't stand by and watch. And if he did, it was for a reason. But we stand by and watch because why? We're afraid. We're nervous. Anxiety creeps up. We're worried about what people are going to think about us. We're worried about how we're going to come off to people more. And we're more concerned about that than we are about, wow, am I obeying my king right now? Am I pleasing my king right now? And that's what we learned on Sunday. Pleasing our king and obeying our king should be more important than any relationship. Covenant relationships are based on obedience, not comfort or connection. Not the way, again, secular relationships are established today. We build our relationships today in the world based off of our humanistic connections with other people. Oh, my friend likes mac and cheese like me, so let's be friends. Oh, my friend, she likes to be quiet just like me, let's be friends. Oh, she's rude just like me, let's be friends. We base our relationships like that. That's not how we were called to establish relationships. Because when we pick our relationships based off our sentiment, we are building up our own success. And guess what? Our success isn't really success. It's really failure. But it's not success based on the king. And so something that Apostle Collins always says that I finally understand, I'm understanding as she broke down this message on Sunday, she always says that the king in me meets the king in you. And I finally understand what she means by that. She says that because when she meets someone or God places someone in her life or in her path, she does not see them from a humanistic or sentimental viewpoint. She sees and she recognizes who God has created that person to be. And that's very important. Why? Because how you righteously start off the relationship and it's how you keep it aligned in God's will. And it keeps you from being the person to judge unrighteously, judging off of what you see. But she walks by the Spirit, and that's what she's teaching us and showing us. That's most importantly that we need to do is walk by the Spirit and see by the Spirit. Apostle Collins also taught us what? That relationships are built for God's success and not our own. He sets up success through us and through our relationships with other people, which is why relationships must be holy and righteous. That is very important. Our relationships must be holy and righteous. Why? So that God can benefit, so that he can get the glory, and so that his plan can be executed accordingly and completed. Something else we learned on Sunday, we learned that when we come into a relationship with another, the relationship must be established, developed, and in alignment with God's government. It's all for purpose. She's showing us even the more how God is very intentional, how he's very specific about what he does, and it's for a purpose and it's for a reason. Something else that our unjust emotions do that we saw in 1 Samuel 12 is our unjust emotions hinders order. When we operate in unjust emotions and we operate in unjust relational sentiments, it hinders order. The church cannot walk in divine order if it's governed by human relational sentiments, because everybody's focused on everybody else and not God's will, not his plan that has been established. Kingdom structure demands accountability, which relational sentiments often resist. Our relational sentiments resist structure and accountability, which is why we also like to build relationships on sentiments, because we don't have to hold each other accountable. Maybe we can at some point, and then we can fall off whenever we want. But accountability is required in the kingdom at all times. And Apostle Collins told us this a while back, that as kings in the kingdom, we are responsible for each other. She talked about that. She realizes that she's responsible for others that God placed in her path that are in the kingdom, not outside the kingdom. So in the kingdom, relational accountability is key. God will judge sentiment that overrides his will. He judges what does not come into alignment with his will and what he has planned. It's all throughout scripture. There's consequences to every action, and there's judgment to everything. All things that override his will, because there is a divine consequence when emotions outweigh obedience to God's voice. Something we also learned about on Sunday, Eli's house was judged. Why? Because he honored his sons more than God. And we may not see it as him honoring his sons, but he did honor his sons. How did he honor his sons? He honored his sons by not addressing them. And so he honored them by letting them have their way. He honored them by letting their will go forth. That's honor, but we're called to honor our king. We can't honor man and relationships in the natural and honor God at the same time. We must honor our king first, and then we can operate how he commands us to operate in the natural realm according to his will. God is purifying the ecclesia, and he is truly removing relational idols and reestablishing righteous government. That's what we learned on Sunday. That's what we are understanding, what God is doing right now through relationships. And his government is truly being established and set into place through holy righteousness and kingdom-built relationships. Again, his government is being established and set into place through holy and righteous and kingdom-built relationships, not relationships built off of our sentiments. As we wrap up our review this evening, I want us to truly remember that relationships are built for God's success and not for our personal gain. And if we truly build our relationships based off of God's will, then more relationships can be more successful. A lot of relationships, if we take a step back and just look, a lot of relationships, even in our life and in our past, have been unsuccessful and have been failure relationships. Why? Because we built them off of our own, what we want, our own desires, our own lust. And again, when we build things off of our sentiments, they don't last because our sentiments are unstable. And so again, as we wrap up our review this evening, let's truly take time to examine the foundations of our relationships and let's come into truth about what we establish with others through our sentiments. Amen. I just want to bless you guys. Thank you so much for listening to our review. Listen, it's Tuesday, okay? I am excited. And as we know what time it is truly Tap In Tuesday. And we are about to tap in with Apostle Johnita Collins. So again, guys, grab your notebooks, grab your pens, grab your coffee, and let's tune in and let's tap in with Apostle Johnita Collins.
Welcome to Tap In Tuesdays with Apostle Johnita Collins. Join us every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. to tap in and take over.
Together again. Listen, it's Tap In Tuesday. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins and I'm ready to go. Let's get ready to rumble. Got it. I got the gloves. The champ is here. I'm ready to take you to another level. I'm ready to teach you about these sentiments. Listen, great job, Prophet Nigeria. She did an excellent job at capturing what we went over on Sunday. The Lord allowed me to bring forth this third part. First, we dealt with emotional sentiment. Then we dealt with cultural sentiment. And now we're at the final leg of relational sentiment. Why is that such a big deal? Why is that so important? It's so important because you must understand that if you are found caught up in your relational sentiments, caught up in your community, caught up in your tribe, caught up in your clan, caught up in your people, caught up in your herd, caught up, do you understand? Caught up in your own personal community. Listen, God has to judge that accordingly because you're not caught up in him. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm coming out of the gate. Listen, I want you to understand, and I definitely need you to go back and watch Sunday, replay it. You can find it on YouTube, Facebook, you can find it all over. Just go to johnitacollins.live, tap into all of my social media platforms, and you'll be able to tap into Sunday's message. Why? Because I taught you about accommodating humanistic relationships. All right, I'm gonna say it again. I taught you about accommodating humanistic relationships. Listen, you got to remember that as he is, so are we in this world. That is one of our foundational scriptures that we stand on here. I can't build living epistles if I'm not building you as he is. Come on here. So in order to do that, you must understand what you can accommodate. The only thing you can accommodate is the will of the Lord. Come on, I'm out the gate. The only thing you can accommodate is the will of the Lord. So anytime you're accommodating, let me see, anytime you're passive, anytime you're submissive, anytime you're yielding, anytime you're non-resistant, existence, to human, to humanistic relationships, to humanity as a whole, to morals and mortals, to the multitude, to your family, to the population, to the public, to society. Listen, anytime you're putting that before God, anytime you're deferring to that, anytime you're yielding to that, anytime you're uncomplaining to that, anytime you're subdued by those relationships over the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a relational, sentimental problem. Your sentiments are rooted in your relationships, and they are not rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. Can I get a ding, 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 ding? Let's get into it, because I am ready to. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to rock and roll because we got to get to the bottom of this, all right? We got to look at it from this standpoint. Relational sentiments in today's church, you have to be able to identify that. You have to be able to know when you are in relational sentiment and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I bought you this out of Eli. And I talked to you on Sunday, and Prophet Nigeria just reviewed. Listen, Eli's failure to correct, Eli's failure to restrain, Eli's failure to remove his rebellious sons due to his personal connection cost them their lives and his legacy. Come on here. In his position, his office in Jesus Christ. I mean, it all went up in flames. It all became a mess. It all became for naught. All of the sacrifice, all of the learning, all of the promise keeping by God, everything wind up going down to a zero when it comes to him and his legacy, because he refused to correct, he refused to restrain, and he refused to remove his son. Well, I want you to look at it from today's perspective, okay? We have pastors, we have bishops, we have prophets, we have apostles who are failing to correct, who are failing to restrain, and even remove their rebellious sons and daughters today. Why? Because, listen, they have platform loyalty and emotional compromise. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They're not emotionally intelligent. They're not healthy because they cannot make the right decisions. They're compromised in that area, and their sentiments show up, and they prefer to keep that relationship over keeping their kingdom assignment. Come on here. Over keeping their kingdom duty. Come on here. Over keeping their covenant and their commitment and their responsibility and their obligation to the king. So tonight, listen, I'm going to simply share with you some examples that reflect how honoring relationships over God's righteousness leads to spiritual corruption. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, that's what we're dealing with today. This is a spiritual corruption. And it's also what? Corruption in your judgment. But I have to expose this because my whole desire is for you to live and not die. I don't want your kids to die. I don't want you to lose your inheritance. I don't want you to lose your position or place in the kingdom. But if I don't teach this message the way it should be taught, to cause you to sit back and begin to ask the right question, Lord, is it me? You got to be around the table like the Last Supper. Is it me, Lord? I'm just saying, you have to stop thinking and being haughty and prideful, thinking that it's not you. thinking that you're holier than thou, thinking that, listen, that you got it all together, because we're all working out our soul salvation and we all are fighting to get from glory to glory. Well, we should be fighting to get from glory to glory. We should understand that none of us arrive until we make it into eternity. And until that time, we all should be working on our soul salvation. So my entire interest is for you to live and not die. So go ahead, grab your pen, grab your paper, grab your Bible, make sure you get these scriptures down, because listen, you gotta understand where you are. At the beginning and the end of the day, modern day relational sentiments, you know, I call it the Eli syndrome, right? When you have this preference, right? When you know, where you're not going to push back, where you're going to turn the eye, turn the cheek, where you're not going to address the issue at hand because it's your children. Oh, come on here. I want you to understand relational sentiment happens when loyalty to people override loyalty to God. You got to look and see where your loyalty lies. Is your loyalty to the community? Is your loyalty to the crowd? Is your loyalty to the nation? Is your loyalty to the population? Is your loyalty to your kinfolk? Is your loyalty to your church folk? Is your loyalty to the masses? Is your loyalty to the heads? Is your loyalty to humanity? Listen, the reason why I'm breaking it down like that is because that's why Unitarianism is so prevalent. Because in that denomination, you can be loyal to everything. You can love everything. But scripture tells us that God said, wait. Love what I love and hate what I hate. But in Unitarianism, there is no hate. Everything goes. But I'm not going to go down that track. I just want you to understand why I have to point out the different locations, the different communities, the different people groups. Because you may be okay when it comes to your kinfolk, but you may not be okay when it comes to your job folk. You may be okay with your job folk and not okay with your kinfolk. You may be okay with your kinfolk and not okay with your church folk. Listen, it could go either way, depending on the dynamic and depending on the group. As Prophet Nigeria said, listen, sometimes we're connecting off of the most frivolous thing. Oh, you like macaroni and cheese? I like macaroni and cheese. Well, let's connect. Now we connecting over the spirit of gluttony, because that's all we do is eat macaroni and cheese. And God is like, I'm not in that. I've already condemned that. I already have a verdict for that. Come on here. Wake up and understand. We have a real problem because we don't know how to build kingdom relationships. We've been doing church relationships, not kingdom relationships. Because when you do kingdom relationships, the king is the head, not your sentiments. Oh, come on here. Today's leaders are often guilty of preserving relationships at the cost of righteousness. They're going to preserve the relationship even if that head of the music ministry come in high, come in hungover. They know that they have a sexual appetite that is out of control. They still gonna let them get up there and lead in worship. That's preserving the relationship above preserving your covenant with Christ. Come on here. this open sin is a problem. And the fact that many leaders of today are guilty of keeping their natural children or spiritual children in public ministry despite their sin is a problem, and it mirrors Eli's era. Eli honored his sons above God. Eli honored his sons above God. Eli honored his sons above God. And when you allow your spiritual or natural children to remain in public ministry and disgrace the Lord Jesus Christ with their open sin, that's a problem for the Lord. Now we're talking about an honoring issue. And I started off the new year with that. You got to know how to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and stop sweeping these behaviors under the rug and begin to put them under the blood so that you can get back in your rightful place, so that you can have righteous judgment, holy judgment, so that you can even have righteous and holy relationships. Many pastors of today and leaders of today are guilty of letting their children remain in position of influence, And what they're not taking into consideration is that that influence is sinful and corrupt. And only thing it's going to do is corrupt the nature of the entire ministry, anything that sin touches is going to corrupt it. That's why scripture says, but what does light have to do with darkness? And what we want to say is we can hang out with sinners and we can hang out and do sin and still be holy. You're alive. Still be righteous. You're alive. Still be upright. You're alive. Because according to the scripture, when we were in 1 Samuel 2, listen, it said that Eli's sons didn't know the Lord. So the scripture has already told us that there is a behavior connected to knowing the Lord. And that is what should show up. That is what should be openly shown. But unfortunately, we're good at openly showing our sin. We think sin is fun and sin is okay. It's okay to have a little sip. It's okay to have a little affair. It's okay to have a boyfriend. It's okay to have a girlfriend. It's okay to have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. I mean, this is the day and time we're in. That's open sin. Because if you're not in a marriage, God calls that adultery. Okay, see, we can't even be honest. We can't even stay in scripture. We can't accept scripture. That's the problem. Our sentiments, we want to rearrange the word, but there's no rearranging the word. The word is the same, and it's not changing, and it's still rendering the same verdict. Listen, there's a problem when sons and daughters are protected from rebuke due to their bloodline or their spiritual connection to leaders. Sentiment at that point becomes idolatry because there's an idolization of the relationship and of the person. And it's so idolized that rebuke and recovery is not even on the table to take place. Come on here. Ministry is about restoring the soul. Ministry is about restoring the mind. Ministry is about making room to have that new heart. Ministry is about developing your new created spirit, not about your sin, and not about agreeing with your sin. and not about being passive about your sin. And not about not pushing back on your sin. Oh, come on here. I could run this thing down because this is a whole problem. And this is the Eli syndrome. And if you don't begin to look at yourself and question if you have the Eli syndrome, where you may simply say a little bit, but you're not going to take any action to truly correct because you value the relationship above the covenant, above your covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we all watch the news. There's all kinds of scandals. There's a well-known bishop whose son was arrested for misconduct. And guess what? That son remained in public leadership. I'm going to keep saying public because I need you to understand that ministry is about public service. I'm a public servant. I'm a public servant. Come on here. And that son stayed in public leadership, stayed in ministry with no accountability to his actions. And according to 1 Samuel 2 and 29, thou honoreth thy son above me. Come on here. This is still happening. Eli syndrome, Eli syndrome, Eli syndrome. It's still happening. Knockout. Knockout. Because we have to be able to sit down as the body of Christ, as living epistles, as the ecclesia, and begin to what? Clean ourselves up and get out of what? That spot and that wrinkle. Prepare ourselves. Make ourselves ready for our King. Number two. With our relational sentiments, obeying people over God, listen, the cover-ups in the mega churches, it's one too many to even begin to get into. And this day and time, it seems like these mega churches are being exposed, whether it's hidden sexual sin or financial scandals. Listen, these scandals are being protected for the sake of what? Reputation. What is reputation? For the sake of the relationships that they have. People know what people were doing, but they're not going to say anything. I mean, listen, I'm not here to call out names tonight, but I promise you this. I don't actually have to call out names because every one of you are placed somewhere where something is going on for the most part. Why can I say that? Because many leaders are in leadership, not because God placed them there, but because this church system placed them there. And their souls are not worked out, and they're just as carnal as you, which is why y'all cool. Well, I said it. That's why y'all cool. That's why you relate to them. So if it's the church that drink and smoke, then you go over to that corner. If it's the church that party and have sexual orgies, then you going over to that church. If it's the church that love to steal money and lie to you and take your dollar, then you over at that church. Listen, your appetite is running you. Your sentiment is running you. And you got to sit down and question, what is your sentiment? What is drawing you to these relationships? Come on here. I mean, there was just a big mega ministry that just did a whole conference and did a 15-minute boots on the ground. Played the whole song, not an edited version or anything. So as far as I'm concerned, you better understand this. everybody there is under hidden sexual something, because that's what that song is about. It's not about cowboy boots. That's why they flinging a hip to the side. Watch the move. But more than anything, listen to the music. That's an inappropriate song. At a Christian event, what are we doing? And that is, listen, like I said, Eli refused to restrain his sons, allowing sentiment to shield their sin. Now, here's the problem. Here's the cover up in mega churches. When prominent ministers cover up sexual abuse or financial fraud or moral failure, listen, because the offender is their own. But scripture says, touch not my anointed. God is the one that decides what you don't touch. And he already has disclosed to us in his scripture what he calls his own. Come on here. And if you are a minister of the gospel and you're sitting in leadership, then you agree with what God says is his own. So we had a whole clashing of truth. This is why you have to go back and watch my teaching on the lies we tell and the truth we elude, because many leaders are eluding the truth. Because if they were able to be honest with themselves, they'd sit their kids down. Now, you know you can't do that. But when they begin to protect their children because they're one of their own, listen, they are actually embodying the spirit of Eli. The spirit of Eli is still living, and I'm telling you right now, the legacy of that ministry is gone. It's already going down. But God is not playing. There will be an open shame and an open exposure to everything, because now you're openly leading people to hell. You're openly saying that you can have a whole conference with over 20,000 women that's supposed to help them to grow in Christ Jesus, and you do a 15-minute intermission with a song that is sexually driven, and you don't find anything wrong with it, you're not in Christ Jesus. You're not in Christ Jesus. And that should not have been able to go forward. Nowhere. When you don't speak up, when you cover your own, when you protect your own, silence becomes a partnership with sin. And you choose what? You choose to protect the reputation of your sinful son or daughter over making a righteous judgment and move to either remove them, to publicly correct them, to come out of agreement with them, to separate from them. Listen to me. Whatever you got to do to protect the kingdom, to protect the king. And nobody's interested in protecting the king. And that's a problem for the king. Major denominational leaders are defending their staff after abusive allegations. What? To preserve the unity, to have a unified front. They know. They've known. People have been complaining. And we don't just see this in Christianity. We see it in every religion. So let's not do that. This is truly a conversation about what we're supposed to uphold and preserve, though. And we are not supposed to uphold and preserve sin. We are supposed to destroy sin. We're supposed to destroy our sinful nature. That's why scripture tells us we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But when Jesus come along with his blood, we're washed clean. We're set free. So why are we still in our sinful nature when we're supposed to be in our liberty and freedom, living life and life more abundantly? There is a problem with our behavior. There is a problem with our thought processes. There is a problem with our judgment centers. We are not in Christ Jesus. Come on, body of Christ. Get your mind be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can operate like the king on this earth and make yourself ready. According to scripture, if a man sins against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? These sins are against the Lord, because it's one thing to sin against each other. Go on and forgive each other. Go on and have that conversation and work it out. But when you sin against the Lord, you have a major problem, and he doesn't take it kindly. And what we want to keep saying is that what? It's under the blood. We can do whatever we want. New mercies every day. Not without repentance, there is no mercy. Not without changing, there is no mercy. You can't even be convicted. You up there, the man of God is giving a true word about fraternities being brought into the church. And then instead of you going on and sitting down like a mature saint and being convicted over the truth that was presented, you gave a whole clap back. Worldly. You're a sinner and you're not saved by grace. And I stand on that, because you should have taken that and sat on down. Because that seasoned saint is not out of order. You are. And all dogs are not going to heaven. I stand on that. Point three, friendship over faithfulness in apostolic networks. This is a major problem today as well. Apostles protecting other apostles, prophets excusing other prophets. This systematic enabling turns alliances into altars where truth is sacrificed for loyalty. Come on here. This is a whole problem. And many people, I let you know from the beginning, my rules, my regulations, and my standards, if we in friendship. Why? Because I don't want you to be misled. And I don't want you to think that you're going to have me lost and turned out, because I'm not leaving Jesus Christ. I need you to understand you're going to have to come up higher if we're in a friendship, because there's no reason for us to be in a friendship if God ain't interested in what? Us going up higher. So if we ain't at the same level, then somebody got some growing to do, and then we'll continue to grow together when we're like this. Oh, come on here. But oftentimes, that relational sentiment kicks in. And you know what happens? People don't like me anymore. Because I'm always on. I'm never off. People don't want to gel with me anymore. Because I'm never below. I'm above. Come on. Your identity has to be rooted in Christ Jesus before you can even pursue kingdom friendships. I'll say it again. Your identity has to be rooted in Christ Jesus before you can even entertain kingdom friendships. Why? Because other than that, your relationships are going to be rooted in your personal sentiment, in your personal appetite, in your personal culture, in your personal surroundings, in your personal sin, in your personal iniquity. That's why Prophet Nigeria could teach you, listen, oh, I like to be angry. I like you because you like to be angry. Yeah, we got a little attitude, no problem. Let's be friends. Connecting off of the craziest and strangest things. And trying to say that it's God and finding yourself loyal to it. Come on here. But there's a major problem right now within the body of Christ. Because when you look at friendships over faithfulness in these apostolic networks, you have apostolic alliances being used as shields for disobedient leaders. You know it, and I know it. Is it true or is it true? Thank you for your honesty. It is absolutely true. So now we got leaders shielding leaders in their sin bed, in their sin nature, in their sin thought, in their sin heart, in their sin soul, in their sin relationship, in their sinful family, in their sinful church. Come on here. Because that's what we have. It's not the Lord's ecclesia. It's a sinful church full of doctrines of devils. And one apostle is protecting another apostle. One false prophet is protecting another false prophet. One compromised pastor is protecting another compromised pastor. Come on here today. Prophets excusing prophets. The job of a prophet is to check and wreck. What are you talking about? The office of a prophet comes to check and wreck. Apostles overlooking other apostles. The whole purpose of an apostle is to destroy darkness and build up the light. What are you talking about? So how can there be an overlooking? Because we're friends? We're not friends because I hate what the Lord hates. You come this way, you're going to find a real friend. Yeah, you're going to find a real friend. Because listen, love covers a multitude of sin, but I'm not going to cover you to continue to sin. I'm going to have right conversation with you. I'm going to point a few things out to you. But if you decide you don't want Jesus, I'm going to exit and leave you where I found you. Here's the other problem. These same leaders who prophesy judgment to the people won't confront their own rebellion in their own ranks. Come on here. I remember making a whole report about a sinful, reckless, prideful prophet who was doing some really shady dealings in the ministry. And I remember their mother in the head of the church, after I made that report, getting in the pulpit and doing a whole rebuke to me, preaching a whole rebuke, talking about don't report their prophet. Oh. Well, I'm glad that you made it public that they're your prophet and not the prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. That was my takeaway, because you can't rebuke the truth. Nothing can stand against the truth. So all of your work and huffing and puffing from the pulpit made me know, never mind, because the truth still remains. But I'm glad that you claimed that prophet as your own, because that prophet is not of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when apostles overlook sin and sacrifice the public, God's people, for their children, and they won't confront the rebellion in their own ranks, but they always render in verdicts about everybody else. I think that makes you fraudulent. And I'm not talking about hearsay. Those with platforms are often excused why small churches and small people in the church are held to standards that the leaders aren't held to. You got sinful leaders, but you always hooting and hollering about the small saints. Come on here. But according to scripture, for do I now persuade men or God? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of the Lord. You became not the servant of the Lord because you choose to please men. You choose to please that relationship and not confront it as you should. So now you have that relationship still standing, but your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is compromised. Come on here. Come on, friendship over faithfulness and apostolic networks. You better take a closer look as to what you're doing and what you're calling friendship or any kind of relationship, whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. The standard is the same because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And guess what? His word is not changing and it's not passing away. He's upholding his rules. He's upholding his order. He's upholding his laws. He's upholding his commandments. And here's my advice to you. You should open up your scripture and stop preaching about other people and find yourself in the word and decide how you want to end your last days. Emotional loyalty over eternal order. Listen, only the truth will set you free. So if you listen to this message and you think I'm talking about you, I probably am, and get free. Emotional loyalty over eternal order. Some leaders say they've been with me from the beginning and refuse to correct or remove them. We've all heard this. We've all seen it. I've lived through this. Where that emotional loyalty based on their relationship and the time with them is causing leaders what to turn away from eternal order. Here they are preaching about eternal order, but they can't keep it. See, here's, oh, Jesus help us to death, because I'm talking tonight. Listen, some leaders say they've been with me from the beginning. You all have heard that. And here's the truth of the matter. They refuse to correct or remove these sons or these daughters because they've been with them from the beginning. Their sentiment over order is absolute rebellion. And they're trying to masquerade it as mercy. They're trying to say, hey, you know, they've been with me for a very long time. It's all good. Listen. How can it be good? If sin be found, it must be addressed. And if addressed, there's an opportunity for restoration. Come on, guys. Is that what scripture says? Once sin is found, okay, once the thief is found, once sin is found, it must be turned back to you, your goods, plus sevenfold. That means a total restoration is possible. So as a leader of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you begin to put the light on the years you've been with somebody, or they've been with you, and not on their commitment to God, their integrity with God, their relationship with God. Listen, when you begin to make it personal and mortal instead of spiritual and immortal, and you want everybody to have a blind eye because you want to masquerade it as mercy. But once again, I stand on this. There's no room for mercy because you have not addressed it. Listen, me and my people, we have tough conversations. We have very hard conversations. But one thing I let them know, well, we're in the thick of it. We're having the conversation, and this is what can be done. Because new mercies are available to us every day. But they are not available to us if we are just in sin. Come on here. There has to be an action for that reaction. There has to be an action of coming out. There has to be an action of taking the right steps to make change, to turn from sin. There has to be a resist the devil. Emotional loyalty over eternal order. Leaders keeping people in place because they've been with them from the beginning. Even when they've stopped walking in the Spirit. They know that the Spirit of the living God is no longer with them. They know that they're compromised and they still won't confront. Why? Because longevity is now loyalty to the kingdom in their mind. That's only in their mind. Longevity is not loyalty to the king. Because the king is keeping a record of everything that you've done during that span of time. And if you've not done what he's required of you, kept yourself holy, righteous, upright, working out your soul salvation, then understand that your sentiments are ruling you. And it has become a sentiment when truth is compromised. You gotta understand that sentiments compromise truth. I've been saying it over and over and over and over again. Prophet Nigeria brought that point out. That is a very key point. That's a knockout point. Sentiments will always compromise truth. When you live life through the lens of sentiment, truth cannot be in the relationship. Truth cannot be in the outcome. Truth cannot be in the situation. Because your feelings, your sin, and your iniquity is ruling. Sentiments are rooted in sin. Sentiments are rooted in iniquity. If you look at the end of sentiment, it said, I meant. I meant. This is what I meant. I know what you said, God, but this is what I meant. So we're always twisting God's words. We're always twisting God's desire. We're always twisting God's will to what we meant. He said this, and then we say what we meant. Thou shall not kill. And what we meant was, well, I can slaughter a little bit, long as I only do it in the AM. You see what I'm saying? We start saying and thinking crazy things. I want you to understand longevity, a person being with you, can never be considered loyalty if that person is not loyal to the king. And if your relationship is not loyal to the order of eternity. We are not our own. We are blood bought. And I want you to understand that whosoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. God is clear on his judgments. And this is something that Eli just had to accept. He had to accept it because even when given another opportunity, he fouled. Come on. And we're still doing the same thing today. We're not back in Eli's time. We're doing this right here, right now. We have emotional loyalty over eternal order all day, every day. God put you in kingdom relationships. He says what he wants to have accomplished and what we start doing. Talking about what we emotionally loyal to. God put a new leader, give you a new leader, you ask for a new leader, and then you keep talking about everything the old leader, or you want the old leader. Come on here. Or you want the old relationship because you've been with them for 10 years or 15 years and this is new. Now all of a sudden you got issues walking this part out. How so? That is your sentiment. It makes no sense. Because when you was in prayer, you was telling God you was tired. You was telling God you had enough. You was telling God that it had been 10 years too long. And you had not maturated to certain things. You had not elevated to certain things. Come on here. And then you get the new in the kingdom and with Christ. And now you have amnesia about your very own prayers. We got to do better, body of Christ. Because our sentiments some kind of way get wedged right in the middle of truth and eternal order. Come on here. Our sentiments get wedged in between truth in eternal order. And if you don't discipline yourself to override the lie and still live in truth, or if you don't train yourself to just believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith the size of a mustard seed. So if you could just have faith in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could possibly not find yourself entangled in emotional loyalty over eternal order. But I'm telling you, your sentiments will rule you, especially if you love father and mother more, especially if you love auntie and cousin more, especially if you love daughter and son more, especially if you love boss and comrades more. Point five, and then I'm out of here. Social media influence track. Why did I go down these different tracks? Because I'm dealing with modern day relational sentiment and where it's landing the body of Christ. Influencers are often allowed to remain in sin because of their reach. Because of their reach. Because of their reach. Influencers are often allowed to remain in sin because of their reach. So they're turning away from their sin because they want the numbers. Social media influence track. Social media influence track. I want the numbers. I want the views. I want a million views. Not I want a million people saved, because views don't equate to salvation. Somebody help me out tonight. But here's the problem with this social media influence trap. It turns consecration into commodity. It turns consecration into commodity. And for God, that's a major problem, because you're all about making a profit. You're all about making a dollar. You're all about what? Being here, being there, being seen. I'm the one, I'm it. In this Eli syndrome, just like Eli's sons, they want attention. And they take what's holy and they make it unholy for attention. For attention, to be seen, and to show off just how different you are. I think it's interesting. Is that not Kendrick Lamar's song? I'm different. I'm different. Is that what he says? Is that Kendrick Lamar? I think it's Kendrick Lamar. Nevertheless, it's some rapper. And I think it's interesting that the body of Christ has picked that up as a mantra. When scripture says you're a holy nation and a peculiar people. He's not like us. They're not like us. By the way, he took that from scripture. But here's the deal. He's using it for the world. But why won't you just, you know, make up your own tune about I'm peculiar. I'm a holy nation. We ain't going to put holy. Okay. Social media influence track. Spiritual leaders refusing to discipline or remove influencers who generate visibility but compromise consecration. Compromise holiness. Oh, come on here. There's a constant excusing of carnality for clicks. Half of these clicks are extremely carnal. Extremely. It's another group of people. I see them all the time. And they walking around. It's these women singing. And everything on them is jiggling. And they wear these clothes that's kind of form-fitting. And they doing this and they big. Well, at least the leader is, a couple of them are in the group. But the problem is they doing this song and they doing all this and everything's jiggling and they always got the camera like on their backside or on their bust. Come on here. That's not consecration. That's not holy. And they purposely stomp real hard while they're singing. So that everything moves. Oh my God. Help me, Jesus. Is it me? Am I the only one seeing this? Okay, you see it too? Okay. I'm just saying. So all of this is excused for clicks and silenced for the sake of branding. So right now, the church is caught up in clicks and branding, clicks and branding, clicks and branding, doing any kind of tricks for a click. And sacrificing God for branding. I want you to remember that Eli's sons made a mockery on the offering too, because when you are worshiping or when you're doing ministry, it's still supposed to be an offering unto the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? But Eli's sons made a mockery of the offering, just like how the sacred is being merchandised today, because that's what's happening. The sacred is being merchandised. It's all about what? How much money you can make on social media, even for the church. And also, what's supposed to be holy, set apart, and given unto God is treated as secular. So you giving secular to what's supposed to be sacred. And you're saying that it's God because you're using his words. Oh, come on here today. Oh, we're going to get some healing and some deliverance. We're going to get some healing and some deliverance. And we're going to be a little more responsible with our social media presence. And we're going to be a little more responsible with who we are depending on to develop that social media presence. And we should care more about how God would view it than how many views we get. Come on here. Men abhorred the offering of the Lord. I want you to understand, men are repulsed by living as an offering to the Lord. I need you to understand, men hate being an offering unto the Lord. But here's my biggest question. Is it you? Is it you that avoids giving the Lord a consecrated offering? Is it you that condemns the offering? You condemn how God is asking you to live. You condemn and you curse the standards of living according to scripture. You detest it. You dislike it. You actually loathe it. Is that you? Do you shun away from it? Is the word offensive to you? The lies we tell and the truth we elude, because our sentiments are leading us and not the Holy Spirit. Here's the truth of the matter. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and it comes to his offering, is it undesirable to you to stay holy? If it's not popular, if it's not on and popping, you don't want it. We can look at the state of the church right now and remember what I said. Obeying people over God, obeying the populace and obeying what's popular, accommodating, making room for it, deferring to it. Listen, over your very God. Because it's no longer popular to preach what I'm preaching. It's no longer popular to preach holiness. It's no longer popular to preach hell. It's no longer popular to preach the blood. It's no longer, listen, it's no longer popular to preach the truth. But the question is it you that's offended by truth because you just want what's popular? You just want what's secular? You just want what's unholy? You just want what's unrighteous because your sentiments are governing you? If it is, I'm going to admonish you this evening to repent and turn from your wicked ways, or make a decision to leave the body, exit. But what you can't continue to do is say that you are in Christ Jesus and live a life unto the world. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I think I just knocked you out nicely, slightly, and politely. But that's what I do here on Tuesdays. It's all about tapping in. I just shared a lot of information for you to go back and rewatch and re-listen, and listen for the purpose of growing and learning. Listen for the purpose of getting your salvation intact. Because whether you believe it or not, there is a heaven and there also is a hell. And as the scripture says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Because according to what we just read in 1 Samuel 2, right? Yeah, 1 Samuel 2. Eli's sons made a choice. And they lived out their choice. But the one God chose, Eli himself made a choice too. And his choice was to not serve God. His choice was to serve himself. Because when you serve your sentiments, you serve yourself. But if you don't want the same outcomes, I'm going to admonish you today, once again, to turn from your wicked ways and become a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless each and every one of you. I want you to remember, as he is, so are we in this world. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I build living epistles. So I want you to continue to meet me on Tuesdays where we tap in, where we address issues and we break through with truth to cause us to come back online for the Lord. But check me out on Sunday, because I will be bringing forth the next message. You can find me on all of my social media outlets, johnitacollins.live. And God bless each and every one of you. I'm out. God bless.